Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Light is a very special thing to God. God's first spoken words in Scripture is this: let there be light. And light was the first created thing in our universe. He made light to be a very special thing with unique characteristics and qualities. For example, when a star dies out, its light can still travel on for years, although the light source has diminished. It's also proven that on a clear night, that you can see the flicker of a flame up to 30 miles away. So something the size of my fingernail, you can see up to 30 miles away. Now hear the words of St. Paul. He writes, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a twisted and crooked generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." Do you ever wonder if your Christian life goes unnoticed or feel that it doesn't matter? Well, Paul begs to differ. He says it does matter. It is noticed. This morning, we'll talk about being a light, how Jesus becoming a man impacts that, in the application that God works and shines through us. Before we talk about light, though, we first have to define what is light. What is God's light? God's light is His truth, which is found in His Word and is His Word. It's also His grace, which is His undeserved mercy that He gives us through Jesus. Light is God's mercy and His truth. What is darkness then? Darkness is everything that is opposite of faith, God's truth, and His ways. There is no gray. And with this in mind, Paul's imagery really springs to life. As Christians, we are lights in a dark, black sky. We really do live in a world of darkness. It seems that Christianity is on the decline and that it's getting harder and more difficult to shine God's light in the world. Groups like ISIS are trying to extinguish Christ's light in the Middle East with brute force. Ideals like communism and atheism are trying to do their part by using government, social pressure, peer pressure, and others to put out the light of Christianity in places like America and Europe and Asia. And it can be difficult to be a light, as God-pleasing morals seem to be leaving our society at an alarming rate, and when it seems that few people are living a Christian life. Just this week, I watched a news report that celebrated the life and work of Hugh Hefner, of all people. This is the world that we live in, a world that celebrates someone's life like that. It's hard to shine Christ's light when things like that are upheld. But when hearing about this, the Apostle Paul says, what's the big deal? For as the darker it gets, the brighter does light shine. We are to shine our light in the world, but how do we do that? We do that by not only living a life of faith, but also by living one marked especially by the virtue of humility, according to Paul. For humility is love in action. The apostle writes, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Simply put, humility puts others before myself and considers others greater. But can you do that without love? Can you truly put someone before yourself or consider someone greater without it? Could you even do it sincerely? No, right? Later on, the apostle says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Humility does not complain or grumble when given tasks, chores, activities, and projects of service to do, but rather, it does them joyfully. That can be a sharp contrast to our lives, where we might mutter and grumble under our breath when we are given some things to do. But rather, humility does these things joyfully. But can you do this without love? Humility and love really go hand in hand. They complement each other so well. Humility is love in action. Love is its motive. These actions in humility help us to shine Christ's light in a dark and sinful world. They point others to Christ, for humility is the very thing that our world struggles with doing. Being humble is not an easy thing to do. There's a famous story about George Washington and his many acts of humility, and this one really sticks out. One day, he was on a riding party with some people, and as they were riding along, they had to jump over a stone fence. Well, some of the horses didn't clear it, and they knocked down a good portion of that stone fence. And Washington said, "Wait, stop. We need to pick this up." And someone said, "That's the farmer's fence. Let him do it. It's not our problem." And so they continued riding on. Once the ride was over, Washington went back out on the same way they went so that he could find the fence and put it back together. As he was doing it, one of the men said, "You're too big to do that. You're too important. Let someone else worry about that." And to that he said, "I'm just the right size to do this." Being humble can be a really hard thing to do. Sometimes we might think that certain tasks might be above us or that we shouldn't have to do it. But also as human beings, we can be naturally selfish, self-seeking, and self-serving. The world tells us to look out for us first and then to look out for others. And we can really fall prey to that philosophy. And there can also be a danger about being humble because we can be taken advantage of as we are humble. But Paul is aware of this, which is why he gives us a great example of a man who shone God's light in the world. Christ becoming man is the greatest act of humility ever known. In his incarnation, Jesus was fully man while still being fully God. Just imagine, Jesus was at one time a baby in diapers in his mother's arms. Can you picture the difficulty of being the almighty creator and then having to rely on a teenage mother to feed, clothe, and change you? What a challenge that would be. As a boy, the Lord grew up and obeyed and listened to his parents. As a man, he worked an everyday job, listening to the commands and instructions of others. Again, imagine how hard that could be, since you're the Lord of the universe and you know all things. Imagine how hard it would be to do something that you know is a bad idea, since you do know all things. But on top of it all, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He did not use his divinity for his convenience or pleasure like we might. The one who should have been served ended up serving. The one who should have given orders took them. Such humility is unheard of and rarely seen in our world, but it shows us Paul's point. He uses Christ to encourage us, to strengthen our faith, and to give us hope. He shows us humility in action. For Jesus, as true God, served his neighbor. As ruler of the universe, he respected authority and took commands. As true king, he listened and helped people with their problems and needs. He doesn't have us do anything that he himself didn't do. But as we look at Christ's humility, we really see our lack of humility, our lack of love to our neighbors, our failures at doing one of the things that helps us to be lights in the world. But Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For he looked beyond his own interests when he took our sin upon himself so that we could have peace with God. He humbled himself through his death on the cross so that he could make you blameless, innocent, and without blemish in God's sight. He considered others greater than himself and shines his grace and mercy on us. And he did this all without grumbling or complaining so that he could make you his own by his precious blood. Through faith in him, you are forgiven and made God's child. Paul says we are to shine as lights amidst a crooked and twisted generation, God's light is shown through his truth and grace, and it's shown before the world through our lives and faith in Christ. But this truth brings up an interesting question. Who does the shining? Is it me or Christ? Aren't we the ones showing God's truth and grace through our actions of service, humility, and love? Aren't we the ones showing God's truth as we tell others about him and share our faith? We're the ones doing this, right? Let's hear the words of St. Paul. He says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Paul describes that tension and concept that we can have a hard time wrapping our minds around. What appears our work is actually God's work in and through us. God is the one who keeps us in the faith. God is the one who works in us to do his will. God is the one who works in us for his good pleasure. And doesn't he do this through his word, which guides, protects, and enlightens us? Doesn't he do this through baptism, where he gives us his spirit who lives, dwells, and works in us? Doesn't he do this through his sacraments, where he gives us his grace and Christ is given? It seems like our work is actually God's work in us, who he shines his grace and truth through. He is the one working through our lives and actions to show his light in a sinful and broken world. As you live your life this week, and as you may do a simple task like opening a door, carrying someone's groceries, or just giving someone a friendly smile, know that God is shining his light through you in a twisted and crooked generation as you do that. And like light in our world, the actions and words that we may say and do to others can still shine on, even though we might pass on. We never know the impact of an action or word that we might say to others. And in Christ, we know that our Christian lives do matter. They are noticed, no matter how dark it may get. For in fact, it shines brighter the darker it gets. Light is really an interesting thing in our world. Its special characteristics remind us that no matter how small the light source may be, that light shines brightly and it covers a huge area. Light doesn't go unnoticed. Its imagery reminds us of who we are, that we are lights in a dark, black world. The life of Christ recalls Paul's point that humility distinguishes us in a crooked and twisted generation. And with light, Paul teaches us that God is the one who does his will and work in and through us. Let's see what God will do in us this week. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who shines in us. Amen.